many of the derelict buildings around here, it wouldn't be difficult for determined intruders to force entry. Snow crunched under their tyres as they slid to a halt on the mill's southward-facing lot. The gaunt structure loomed over them against the white winter sky. The red bricks with which it had been constructed were hidden beneath soot, so thick it had become scabrous. Those pipes and gutterings that hadn't already collapsed sagged beneath alpine overhangs of snow. At first glance, there was no sign of life, but the place was enormous. Not just a central block, which itself might have housed 1,000 workers, but also all kinds of annexes and outbuildings. As the van eased forward at a snail's pace, it dawned on Earnshaw how long it might take them to locate something interesting here. He put his radio to his mouth. 176-2-3. Go ahead, Alan. We're at Franklin Road now. Everything looks okay so far. Anything further on the complainant, over? That's negative, Alan. Could be some prat with nothing better to do. But probably best to check it out. Over. Received, he said, adding under his breath. Might take a while, mind. They drove in a wide circle around the aged edifice, their tyres sliding as they hit patches of sheet ice. Earnshaw wound his window down. It was bitterly cold outside. The snow was still dry and crisp as powder, but even if they didn't see anything untoward, it was possible they might hear it. That they didn't was vaguely disconcerting. Christmas morning ought to be deeply quiet, restful, hushed by the freshly fallen snow, yet the silence around Kemp's Mill was somehow uncanny. It had a brittle edge, as if it could shatter at any moment. They rounded corner after corner, gazing up sheer faces of windows and bricks, networks of ancient piping and hanging, rusted fire escapes. The van's wheels constantly skidded, dirty slush flying out behind. They trundled through an access passage, connecting with a row of empty garages, the corrugated plastic roof of which had fallen through after years of decay. On the other side of this, they spotted an entrance. Rodwell applied the brakes gently, but the van still skated several yards before coming to rest. What looked like a service doorway was set into a recess at the top of three wide steps. There was no sign of the door itself, possibly it lay under the snow. But from the state of the door jamb, which had perished to soggy splinters, this entry had been forced a long time ago. A pitch black interior lay beyond it. 237-6-3, Rodwell told his radio. Go ahead, Keith.
Yeah, we're still at Kemp's Mill. Evidence of a break, over.
Do you want some help?
That's negative at present. Looks like an old one.
They climbed out, gloving up and zipping their padded anoraks. Earnshaw adjusted his hat while Rodwell locked the vehicle. They ventured up the steps, the blackness inside retreating under the intense beams of their torches. At the top, Earnshaw thought he heard something. Laughter, maybe, but it was very distant and very brief. He glanced at Rodwell, whose dour, pitted face registered that he'd heard nothing. Earnshaw was so unsure himself that he declined to mention it. He glanced behind them. This particular section of the property was enclosed by a high wall. The van was parked close alongside it, the entrance to the garage passage just at its rear. Aside from the tracks the vehicle itself had made on entering the yard, the snowfall lay unbroken. Of course, flakes had been falling heavily until about 2 hours ago, so this didn't necessarily mean that no one had been here during the night. They entered side by side, torchlight spearing ahead, and were immediately faced by three options. Directly in front, a switchback stair ascended into opaque blackness. On the right, a passage led off down a long gallery zebra-striped by smudges of light intruding through the ground-level windows. On the left lay a wide open area, presumably one of the old workshops. They ventured this way first, their torch beams crisscrossing, revealing bare brick walls and a high plaster ceiling, much of which had rotted, exposing bone-like girders. Shredded cables hung like jungle creeper. The asphalt floor was scattered with